そうそうそう。
でそう。
あれ？
I have no passion for anyone. He will demonstrate the Burkitt content, linen content management system, which if any of you are teachers or you know teachers, they will be very interested in this.
okay. I won't go into too much in technical details of Burkitt because frankly boring and not what's more important is more the development process. In fact, it's a local open source application. Now
what's that local?
It's a local open source. We develop locally.
Local,
Burkitt is basically what we call a linen content management system, right? So what it does is it allows teachers to create courses that they could show online for like distance education, that type of thing. Right? Burkitt was developed from a grant from IBM. We started last year at UE. And is an ongoing open source project, which means anybody could contribute to it. So we've had a number of people contribute like some features and courses, that type of thing, to the course database that it has. Now, Burkitt is an open source application under the Apache license. So what that means is you can use it for both commercial and open source applications. So if you want to, say, take it and create your own linen content management system, lock it down, don't give anybody the code, put it on a shelf and sell it, you go ahead. You can't have the name Burkitt because that's all copyrighted name, but you could call it whatever else you want.
Jump.
Yeah. Right? Now, the reason we did that was because that is the most flexible license. It's under academic license. because we work with a lot of different components, we want to have the most liberal license that we could get. Now, the licensing is an important issue in that different open source applications have different standards when it comes to the licensing, right? Different ones that you're going to hear is what the GPL license and non-GPL license software, right? Now, GPL license software is from the Free Software Foundation. What's important about the GPL license is that if you write something and put it out as GPL, right? If it's licensed as a GPL application, when you distribute it, you have to distribute the source code with it. You have to do
it. You have to make the source code available.
Yeah. You have to make the source code available on request. Even if you don't distribute it with the application, if you ask me for your source code, I have to give it to you. Now, the other important thing about GPL is that the same rights that I have transfer to you. Which means you can't go and say you lock down this piece of software and if it gives somebody it, they can't see the source code. The same thing I gave to you, you have to give to somebody else if you intend to distribute it. Now,
and if you try it, they will track you down.
Yes.
People will track you down. Not necessarily the Free Software Foundation, but you don't want SECI on you.
Yeah. People will enforce the GPL. Now, There are other licenses, like the one I talked about before, like the Apache license, that type of thing, that allows you to use it commercially, right? A lot of times, the two licenses are incompatible, which means, in terms of software development, you have to be careful which licenses you're working with, because some, like, I can't use a GPL piece of code in software that license under Apache, because of the way GPL, once it's software distributed, the Apache software license doesn't allow for that. So it would be incompatible. So in terms of licensing, you have to be careful in which license, you have to understand which license you're going to use and which license will be best for your type of application when you develop it. Now, one of the goals of CrossCurrentium would be to try to encourage local development. Local open source, from what I know, there are at least three local open source applications. Actually, four. There's Berkey, there's one called eMixer, which is someone called Dustin, that's it. It's a music application to mix music. There's a Firefox extension called Map, Mozilla Archive Format. And there's another extension, I can't remember what it was.
Firefox one. EYS some other time was created by a student working
as an intern.
It basically locks on Firefox like a kiosk. So if you like you're running like a web kiosk, internet cafe, that type of thing, run Firefox, you're not gonna be able to do anything else with it but run Firefox. We actually have a couple of kiosk like CDs that if you get time we'll demonstrate them. It's basically the same principle.
Now what we want to do is we want to encourage more local development. Local government is good because if you pay somebody to develop something locally, the code stays local and the money you pay them stays local. If you think about how much money you're spending on XP or any other proprietary piece of software, you have to look at where all that money eventually is going. Right? From a standpoint of economics, if we want to build a software industry here, we have to keep the money here, and open source is one of the best ways to do that, because you're paying local developers to develop local software. Now, an example of why local development is good is this. What I was working on some courses to distribute online, but since you're for San Diego University. We're using Berkey to develop the course, and in order for the students to see the course, they have to use an application called eTutor. Now, eTutor is an open source web-based program that allows you to distribute courses to students. So students will log in, they would get their courses, they would see the topics for that week. They have a forum where they could go and discuss the topics. They could take online tests, that type of application.
Back on the monitor, I did that for the fourth thing, but I think the second time you press it, that turned off. Yeah, but I don't know if it's on the case, so they could switch to the monitor.
It should.
Yeah, right. Cooking with gas.
No. What? Alright, close enough.
One is to get it to
this is actually the course that we given to students, the computer science course, on databases. It's actually run down here. And students are at St. George's University. So, So basically, we do all the content down here.
So, what is this doing? Philosophy.
I didn't say pre.
I'm doing this personally with
St. George's.
For,
Oh, okay.
Right? But it's an example of local.
Right. You the man. I understand.
Now, we developed Burkeat locally. A-Future is not developed locally. It's a standalone application that you could get, but it's also open source. Now, what is good about having an open source application is that you can modify it anytime you need. A good example is that this course was originally done in something called WebCT, which UE uses. It's proprietary. the course itself has a number of questions for tests and that type of thing that is in WebCT. Right? A-Tutor has its own way of doing tests. So instead of having to take the questions from WebCT and have to redo them over in A-Tutor, I was able to write a utility for A-Tutor that would import the text from WebCT. Now, I could have never done that in a normal application. I can't do that in, I can't do the reverse in WebCT because I don't have access to code for that. But I have access to code for this, which means the hundreds of questions that they have in their database, they don't have to go into it to add the questions in a separate program anymore. I could just import them straight into A-Tutor and it creates the test there for them.
But maybe I may not be knowledgeable enough, right? You're saying one application is proprietary, no access to the source code.
Right.
And next application, open source,
right,
have access to the source code.
Right.
You wrote a new utility that comes like a gateway, right?
Not a gateway utility, an import.
But this is what I'm saying.
Within A2.
How will you be able to import the questions if it is you don't have access to anything?
No.
You take the output screen or something like that?
No. They store the questions in a database. And they can export the questions as a text file.
Oh, well, all right. Cool. Well, then, all right. That answers it. Once you get it in that format, well, then.
Right. But the problem is it's in a big text file.
Yeah.
And,
and that's where your utility came in.
Right. So to bring it into A2.
Okay.
Right?
Well, no, once you tell me the proprietary people have a way for you to get it out.
We can get it out. But the problem is getting it into here.
I have just one quick question about Burkeat. What is the language that it was designed on?
It
was
use Java.
Lang thing?
We use Java.
Use Java to write it?
Yeah.
Okay.
We
Now that is my
first love. We use Java, and actually in Burkeat we use a piece of software called Apache Forest.
Right.
If you go to any of Apache's websites, the Apache Foundation has a large number of projects. In addition to like the Apache web server, they have stuff like development. They have like a development platform called Cocoon and a lot of other similar projects. And the documentation system that they use to generate those websites is something called Apache Forest, which they developed internally to manage their websites and eventually became a full-blown open source project in itself that they released everywhere else. And we use Apache Forest on the back end of Burkeat. We integrated with Burkeat to generate the content for the courses. So I was actually able this summer to write software for Apache through a grant from Google. So some of the code that was developed in Burkeat was actually accepted as part of Apache Forest.
Right.
So it's being used by Apache on their web.
And you say the license that Burkeat under is the Apache license, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. So as soon as we're talk where we can go and read about the different websites on the website.
Okay.
That seems like something you need to know. To get into this open source.
So, any questions on Sokhan Gautama?
What is Burki? I thought you were going to show us.
Yeah, Burki basically allows you to create courses. Mm-hmm. Right? So, this is how the course would look to a user. Right? Mm-hmm. What Burki does is Burki actually gives you an ID that allows you to create the structure of the course and edit the course content.
Sorry,
what
I'm looking at it.
This is Burki. Burki is actually an Eclipse-based application. Mm-hmm. So we actually using Eclipse as a base for Burki. Actually uses Burki is a Eclipse-rich client application. So, we have the Burki plugins. You use the Burki plugin and Apache Forest plugin together, and we modified it to create a. We use the Rich Client application to create its own front end for it. So here is basically where you develop the content and you basically define the structure of the content that way. And once this is done, basically you would be able to generate the content, so you could build the content and copy it to a tutor. What it uses is something called a content package system. And something called SCORM, which is a educational standard for packaging courses. So once you use a SCORM compliant content package, which is what we use, you could import it into any other SCORM compliant application. So this could the content package if we create in Burki, you could go to A-Tutor, you go to WebCT, Blackboard, any other that accepts compliant.
So other than licensing, what is the second thing we should be aware of as software developers, programmers for open source?
Well, in terms of open source, it is easier to develop in open source because of the open source. Because when you're developing open source, the important thing in it is not just developing software, it's becoming part of the development community. Because every good software project has a community behind it. It's not just a company moving things forward. You have actual community, different people who either volunteer, some get paid, some don't, to create the software.
So I have an idea. I had to get some other people to buy into my idea to build my own community, per se.
It doesn't necessarily happen with community.
No,
I understand. Yeah, the time frame is nothing, but I mean, the general concept.
Well, that's a general concept. Because
so I had to be aware of that.
Yeah.
You're making me aware that that's something.
It's a lot easier if you have a community rather than doing something yourself. Because in breaking into open source software, the easiest way is to actually join an existing project and start contributing to the project. Because a lot of times you may think you have something to do, and you know, you say, all right, I have to start my own project, that type of thing. But it may have other projects out there that are doing something similar. So it's easier to come together with the other people and contribute to the other projects. That is to start your own thing and go it alone. example.
It's relative,
right?
Yeah. That's what some people do is some people feel like you can take an existing project, what you said.
Yeah.
But they take the code and they build on it and create their own project.
Yeah, which is what we did with Burki.
Yeah.
Because we worked with Eclipse plugins and we worked with Apache Forest. And we took Apache Forest as an engine to build the content. Now, the advantage of that is that part of the software that we built was actually accepted into the Apache Quadrant as an official part of the Apache Forest distribution.
Alright.
Right? So, which means as soon as that happened, we have hundreds of other developers have access to it and were able to modify it. And they came up with all sorts of different plugins and that type of thing, which eventually made it move back into both.
Okay.
So, that's one of the advantages of contributing to a larger project, in that you usually get a lot more out of it.
Mm-hmm.
In that the returns we saw from contributing the code was a lot more functionality into Boroku than we would have had if it was just two people with one.
Also as well, some of these open source projects are done on volunteer time, in the sense that have some spare time, have write some code, and as I have spare time, I'll continue to draw some projects. Like if your project is not attention, and people think this is a great idea as well, they could take it up from there and continue developing and go to do sentences. There are a lot of tools available that allow the scientists on the call of CBX, which is a cool repository. The main code is there. People could download the code. They can look at it and make the modifications and upload the code back to the repository.
CBS is basically a
management system when you're developing code. So if you have like multiple people developing a piece of code, you have a repository with the code.
Mm-hmm.
So I check the code out and copy it to my machine, make a change to it, and submit the code back. And what happens is it allows you to do revisions of the code. So that if I make a change, and I make another change, and I make another change, and somewhere along the line, one of the features that was there not working anymore, I could go back and see all of the changes that were made, so that I could track back what was changed in that code. So it would be easier to see what went wrong. Another reason is that when you have multiple people working on the project, I could be working on the same piece of code you're working on. CBS allows you to merge those code, that code, so that if you make a change and I make a change and both of us upload it to the server, there's ways for us to merge the code together to resolve any problems that might occur. I could break something, or I can make a change that in something that you may have been dependent on for your branches and that type of thing. What CBS does is CBS smooths out a lot of that type of
integration.
Yeah.
We have many communities.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there one main site that Floss deals with?
No.
So, for the aspect that you come out of it.
There's something called SourceForge. Right? That hosts a lot of open source projects. For people who do have tools like CBS tools available to them.
Right.
It offers hosting space for the projects as well.
Okay.
You do need to register and request that they get access to those facilities. So I don't think it's paid for it.
No.
Right, so
they could pay for it if you want to.
But it is there for you to only develop your project. You go to SourceForge.net, right, and you create your own workspace. Right, for all people to get access to your code as well and test it out. That's what I was thinking.
Well, I was more leaning going towards what about the local group, because they start off with a bang, local group.
Well, like, you have a local SourceForge?
Well,
no, not so much SourceForge. I mean, local community.
There's a Floss Caribbean one.
That's what we're pushing with
Floss.
Floss
Caribbean
one. Floss doesn't have Floss already have a place or a project where we could, or a site to go and see the project running, or whatever the case may be. Existing projects.
There's a website, FlossCaribbean.org, where we'll post up all the projects that we do.
Two questions. One, do you all have a system for establishing benchmarks for releases? Where you get to a particular point and you say, okay, fine, I've released a lot of stuff, and then move on to the other one. The other one is, in the course of creating a resource project, in your form of the construction, you can take the project in an unexpected direction.
Okay, for your first question, basically, the sorry. I'm going to say second question, please. In terms of carrying the project, defining the where the project goes, yes, actually, contributions towards the project does influence where the project goes a lot of times. Burkeep is a good example, because with Burkeep, we're looking at a fully featured learning content management system that does everything. Now, in terms of development, as we are going along and as we develop more of the content development part of it, and we release the content development part of it and contributed it to Apache, we saw that what we were developing in terms of developing content was much more advanced than what is out there in terms of other learning content management systems. So we decided to take it more in the direction of just concentrating on content development right now instead of going for across the board management system. Because it's easier for us to do that and instead of going to do the same features as in say in future. We instead put more effort into going to content creation part of it, so that we have a easier way to create content than say in a tutor or WebCP or any of the other pieces of software. what was the other first part? Okay, yeah. What happens is, in terms of releases, we get together as developers and we have a roadmap. So we decide what's going to be in the 0.1, 0.2, 0.3, 0.4, 0.5 release. And when we have a certain amount of features, so we have enough features that would go into the 0.2 release, then we do a code freeze and we say that from now on we're only fixing bugs in what code is there. So for the next month we have a code freeze. No more features going into it, just bug fixes. At the end of that month, we review it and see if there are any bug fixes that need to be done before we do the release, and then we do a release. But ahead of time, we have a roadmap that we actually follow. And if somebody proposes a certain feature, we decide based on how much effort it would take to implement that feature, whether it would go into this the next release or release after that.
How do you manage your time? And how does this impact on your life generally?
In terms of time management, we'll work on certain projects. I don't work on everything at the same time. A lot of times, certain things I do for one project usually go back into another one. So, like with Burkeep, while I haven't been actively working on Burkeep for the past 3 months, I was working on Apache Forest as part of the Google Summer Code. And a lot of the changes that I made for that will go back into Burkeep. I just do it on a project by project basis.
So in the development of Burkeep, yeah, on average, how many hours you spend to be on it in the lifetime from when you all started to?
Well, when we started, it was 8 hours a day for 6 months, because we were getting paid to do it. So, IBM basically said, you know, show us your roadmap, we'll give you a grant to do it. Either come for the features or you get no money. So, there's incentive to do it, right?
And that was true last year because of the open source thing. No. That is something, or no.
This was through UE.
This was through UE. Indirectly, it was through Plus One, Plus Caribbean.
Yeah, Plus Caribbean One.
Because a lot of the principals kind of met for the first time at the conference, and from the conference, you need more or less develop working relationships. And from there, everything kind of started.
Okay, alright.
After that, it's basically 1.5 times to do it based on the project. But the thing about it is that, like, say with the stuff that we have to put the features in Berkey to deal with exporting to other content management systems like EQT and that type of thing for the project or whatnot. So we get paid for the course that we do it now. So some of the money goes into for that with what the development of Berkey.
You mentioned UE.
Yeah.
What is UE's response to Plus and open source, and how are you influencing the direction of UE's team?
Well, the thing about UE, right? UE is not what you would call a cohesive organization, right?
And then you're both
So what you find out is that 1 hour of UE would be saying, we're setting up a Microsoft lab, and becoming a Microsoft technical training center. While another arm of UE saying that we looking at open source applications in order to deliver courses. And another arm of UE saying, well, we're going to develop an open source application in-house. But generally, a lot of the people in the Department of Math and Data Science are very pro open source. Because as a development model, open source is a good way to get students involved in actual development of software. Instead of just teaching them software and telling them, all right, go out there and find a job where you can build it. The contributions they make actually teach them a lot of the concepts in developing software.
Another question. Okay, you're going to school at UE, and part of the schooling will be a project.
Right.
And you have to interact with the industry.
Right.
Who determines what type of software you use? The industry, they determine, or you will try to influence the direction?
What happens is, in terms of interacting with industry, you have to decide, in terms of the project that you're doing, what type of software is being developed, and what happens when it contributes to the industry? Does the industry say, well, you can't use the software as part of your thesis or that type of thing? Does the industry say, well, all right, we'll help you with the project, but you can't have an open source project, or you can't, you know, show anybody what you're doing, that type of thing? You have to consider a lot of that. A lot of the students actually looking at open source development models and contributing to open source projects because you don't have that restriction with industry in that you can develop something, put it out there, and contribute it to anything you want. And you're not restricted in that way.
As a software developer of open source, do you all follow any type of methodology or in software engineering principles, SABM, any other thing?
Yeah, we do. But in terms of development, the main difference with open source is that you release often.
You release early, release often.
Which is why we wouldn't wait until software is developed enough to
Your life cycle would be really shorter.
Yeah. We wouldn't release a version 1 of the software. So we wouldn't wait 2 years to release version 1. Mm-hmm. Release of point one, release alpha, so pleasure, release of beta. Okay. Point two, point three, point four, point five. Keep adding features and making it more stable.
You could just give me a summarized the major, for the lack of a better word, milestones in your cycle.
Okay.
Or like, well, all right, let me say it in this way. I would know, listen, software development, feasibility, study requirements, analysis, this, that. How you all attack a project in your methodology. If you could just give me a summary of your.
All right.
Let me say it.
In terms of the, well, you'd have to do a feasibility study. It wouldn't be a formal.
Right, okay.
Study, like,
a real school project, or a real
right.
project.
Now, it depends on how you do it. If it's first commercial, first commercial market, right? A commercial company, then you might use the traditional form of it. If it's just you doing a project, and obviously,
But y'all just go through, y'all go, so like, for me, no, so that's okay, so it's like, y'all don't have like, specifications.
Well, what we do is, you develop a specification.
It depends on your project.
Right? It depends on your project. For Berkey, what first thing we did was develop a specification.
Right.
What does a learning content not mean? These are the features.
Wait,
in Berkey,
there's open source?
Yeah.
Okay, right. Nah, I just want to get back.
Yeah, yeah, no.
So, like, yeah, IBM,
you see, the thing is, it honestly depends. Like, Berkey has a lot of time with Apache. Apache is a very serious problem because there's millions of servers on the internet, and you can't screw that up.
No,
in terms of like developing stuff for them, they could be very clear on the objectives, they could be very strict as to what they want.
A good example is the project I was working on, which was something called Summon Code. Right? When Google gave a platform on this year to work with different open source foundations. Like, I was working with Apache.
Right?
Now, in terms of what was different for me as opposed to somebody else working for, say, Lightspeed, right? Was that while they could just do their thing, submit it to the, at the end of the project, submit it. Because of the Apache works, I have to do all of my discussion about the features that I learned on the development system. I can't like contact whoever I was working with in at Apache because they assign me a person on my tour. I can't contact him privately and say I would like to do so much. He wouldn't accept that. You have to do it on the list. On the list. No, on the list when you discuss a feature, so say I want to build a wizard to do this and this, right? I discuss what the feature is, what I want to do with it, how I intend to achieve it, right?
Okay.
The other members of the community would say, well, okay, maybe it would be better if you do it this way. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. That type of thing.
Yeah.
After you get a certain amount of
feedback.
Right. Then you start working on it.
From that you would derive a specification.
Yeah.
And you have to send this documentation back to Apache. This is what.
Well, what it is, I submitted as a patch. From the patch, the project man, there's a committee that manages the project. They overview it and they look at it, and if it meets their standard, then they apply a patch.
But no, before you actually finish the patch,
yeah.
You personally would have had your specification. That may reach up to the mentor. That's you doing a thing.
Well, I have,
part of the whole
I have to do it on the development list, which is where all the developers
okay.
are. All right. No matter who you are, all the developers are on the development list.
Okay.
So whatever I intend to do, I can't like say, yeah, I want to do this, and then keep it to myself, and at the end of the day, submit a patch. But I have to discuss it with everybody else.
Okay. All right?
So, more community involvement. In
so it doesn't take like the traditional role
no.
of software development lifecycle per se.
No.
Alright. Okay. Which is everything you learn, because in school you learn A to Z. When you come out here, you're only using C and F. You know?
No, the software principles will never change, right? And you will follow something, but it's just the process involved. Like, say you need to get public approval to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That has nothing to do with the software engineering process.
Yeah.
That's just a process in whole operation.
Ah, well, maybe I'll say anything about the process. I mean, one of the things that it's heavily emphasized is the type of methodology and documentation.
Oh, yeah. There's,
and so
there's open source projects have a different methodology than traditional, you know, feasibility study.
Right.
It's more community based way of developing software.
Right.
So it's not like you do a strict study and you submit that study to somebody and you approve that study and then you move on to
next phase or whatever.
And that type of thing.
Right.
There's a lot of discussion and going back and forth and that type of thing. And what happens is at the end of the day you get a lot more input into the type of code that is being developed, the type of features that go through software, that type of thing.
But if somebody wants to backtrack to some feature that was designed, there will be no record of all of that discussion that takes place in open source.
No, well, in terms of recording and documenting, Apache has a management system called Jira, where you you submit, like if you intend to do a feature, you submit that to the Jira system.
Okay.
And whenever somebody discusses something important and you come up with a concrete point, you add it to the system.
Okay.
And eventually you get a set of tasks and subtasks and that type of thing. And eventually that will act as your documentation.
Okay.
So it will document exactly when an issue was started, how it was discussed, and the code that was eventually added for that issue.
Right, yeah. Nice. Well, I don't know if we still have time for the next section, but before we reach there, I wanted to ask, plus membership, plus organization, let me tell you something about that now. What it is a free membership, something is a pay a piece of money.
Well, you
I read the brochure, so you know, I take it on what the fellas say in front. I ain't going to tilt the brochure.
Right. Well, the brochure summarizes the non-profit organization, right? We intend to help with the development and use of plus Trinidad and
the
wider region. Right? We're really unofficially a program organization, but we just registered in Trinidad. We have membership in different islands, Lucia, Jamaica, Guyana, and we go into improve on that. Pure Carol's in. We're going to build membership all over.
And it's process is online.
You know,
it's
online.
Yes, but you can do that. I don't know if you have internet access now.
Not yet.
But it's online.
No, not yet.
Okay. Right? But the benefits are there. Just like any other organization, so similar to ours, you're going to be holding activities, events and so on.
Whereas an outsider might be 50,
yeah, member,
exactly.
Right?
All
virtual?
All
physical. All virtual so far. Physical? Emailing addresses where?
Emailing addresses, info at plus favorite.
No, emailing at physical
favorite.
Virtual.
Emailing address?
Yeah.
We have not decided that yet.
Do you have your software?
No, that is something that we should not see. To be a contributor to open source, you don't need to be a developer. Right? As contributing to the documentation of the product.
This is extremely important.
It's very important. That is a core in a lot of open source projects right now. The documentation is poor and limited. Yeah, right? The
upside to that is that it's also a community-based effort, largely, right? So even if the documentation is not going to help you, if you do a Google search, and a lot of times you're going to find the answer, right? But again, that is not documentation, do not Google search. So if you find yourself having a problem, and you want to, and you get a solution, the solution not in the book, you could say, well, this is my solution, and you post it up on their website. They, or some of them give you the facility to make changes to the manuals and so on. So you can take advantage of that, right? And you have helped an open source project, right? You have helped the community.
How about you doing a SIP transfer? You're working in UTT yet?
UTT? UTT is mainly in the energy sector, but we
use really
too much contact with
well, not physically. Actually,
they do have a computer science department.
They have a computer science department, and we do. They are
right, yeah, so.
You know, and I do think that they teach our units at the course where they use different programs.
Yeah, they would have to
look at I know we have much better links to UE, but that's because in terms of physical location, these two guys are physically in camp.
You don't have any other questions on the free open source?
Yeah. Any other questions?
I think that's it for now. Like I said, we have any public meetings open yet?
No, but we will have it by
continue checking the website. We probably have another discussion in this.
Once you're registered, right, you will have the email address. So. Because we're still trying to get things off the ground in terms of how we're going to run up some activities. Right, so we're going
to be there.
So hopefully next year they'll have a conference again.
You open so?
What type of school?
Well, I didn't really think college was fine.
Okay.
I didn't think it was fine, but just basic things.
Okay, because
I think it's a local project. But what I'm interested in seeing is what is
Borrow
Keep.
Borrow Keep,
I want to. And maybe you can explain to me how you did it.
Do
you
want
to
do
it? Do you have anything online for me to do on guest?
Yeah, if you go to Borrow Keep.
Okay.
You'll get you'll be able to download a distribution for
Okay.
And there is information on how to use it. We're trying to get another release out by the next week.
We still need to talk to you so
that's
more.
A manifest is where you define what type of item goes into the content package.
Okay.
Right? Now,
let me get the email. I'm sure you have the email to the fire of that's it.
Content package editor.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
In this panel, this is the physical layout.
Good question. When I go to the site and I get the software, would I load it as a plugin?
No. It's an Eclipse-rich file application.
Uh-huh.
So it's a standalone
application. Just as how I downloaded anything, I can just run EXP.
You download it, double click on Borrow.exe.
Right, and that's it.
Because we're using the Web Tools project in it as well.
Web Tools?
What I'm doing is I'm trying to cut the size down.
That's about how much three or four podcasts.